The following program was previously recorded and is sponsored by Danny Yamashiro Ministries. This is 99.5 The Word.
Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What would prompt a woman to walk through 14 states from Georgia to Maine, a seven-month hike of 2,000 miles? Well, this is the story of Courtney Schad. We pause here at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life program, well, dear friend, is to lead you closer and closer to the Lord Jesus, for you to know His love, that there is always hope in Jesus, no matter what you're facing or what you're going through, because Jesus loves you so much, He died on the cross for your sins. He shed His blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. And the same Lord who has touched the heart of Courtney Schad is reaching out to you, and it is our hope and prayer that you would turn to Him, whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, that you would turn to the Lord, for He is here to lift you up. Courtney Schad is the author of the book, Wide Sky, Narrow Path, A View from the Trail, chronicling her journey of the Appalachian Trail and presented as a redemptive allegory to one's earthly sojourn, which was published in 2011. She currently makes her home in the seasoned town of Marshfield, Massachusetts, with her husband and their two daughters. Courtney, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny. It's great to be here.
Tell us, Courtney, where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up not far from where I live now, just a little further towards Boston in the town of Quincy. And my father grew up there, and that's where my brother and I grew up. And I was there through college years.
Who would you say, Courtney, influenced you most in your growing up years?
I would definitely have to say my parents had the deepest influence, not just as my parents and influencers, but from a spiritual perspective. They were true believers in the sense that while they had been raised in the church, they had made their own firm commitments to Christ. And what was very compelling was the fact that they truly lived what they believed. It was easy to see the consistency with what they believed lived out in the home. I didn't have, there was no sense of dissonance between what I heard at church about the truths of Christ and how believers are called to live. My parents were no more perfect than anyone else on the planet, but they were fair, and they were godly, and they were honest. And seeing that level of integrity lived out before me, and quietly and humbly, made a very, very deep impact. And I would say it wasn't until my college years attending a Christian college out of state where I began hearing stories from fellow students of, of their upbringing in homes where that faith was claimed but not lived out, and there was tremendous pain and a disparity between what they saw and what they actually experienced at home, which made them resent the fact that they were at a Christian college. And I did not realize, therefore, until I was essentially in my 20s, the gifts that I'd been given in the integrity and the streamlining, if you will, of matters of faith that I had experienced in the home with just consistency and with humility. And it's a deeper gift than I know that I have even yet appreciated.
I've recently gone to meet your father. I got to know him a little bit, and I look forward to getting to know more, especially now hearing, you know, especially as we tie in where you grew up and how your faith grew through the years. Courtney, describe your personal journey of faith. Take us further. Your journey of faith that prompted the adventure of a lifetime in 1998.
Yes. And I love that you're linking those two things, because, again, in hindsight, I'm realizing it was a bit of a leap of faith to undertake that journey. As I had mentioned, with the consistency of a Christian upbringing, I didn't go through an experience that many do of believing at a young age, then falling away, and then perhaps coming back at a later time. I moved with my parents' faith and believed the whole story of the gospel, but interestingly, I did not actually step into what I would call a confession of faith and a salvation experience until I was close to 10 years old. I didn't disagree with what I heard. I saw it lived out. I believed in it. I believed in the value system of following Christ and loving others. But when I was approaching the age of 10, we were visiting my father's brother out of state. It was Easter time, and a cousin of mine put on a song by a singer-songwriter by the name of Don Francisco, and the song is entitled "He's Alive." And in that song, the singer portrays what it was like for the disciples experiencing the resurrected Christ after thinking he was gone. And I remember listening to that song and just feeling what I now know, it was that the Holy Spirit was drawing me. I just had this sense of, I need to know more. I need to listen to him. And I remember in my excitement after hearing this song and being so moved, I went to my room in my uncle and aunt's house, and I knelt down at the bedside to officially ask Jesus into my heart, even though I already believed everything that I'd heard. I hadn't done that. And no sooner had I knelt down and closed my eyes and folded my hands, the door opens, and my aunt was wanting to tell me something. And she didn't, of course, know what was about to happen. And in that moment, the interruption interrupted the experience that I was about to have. And I felt I had this sense of embarrassment. Someone discovered me on my knees in prayer, and I was embarrassed because I was trying to be in the prayer closet. And I it was not until the summertime at the summer place of my grandfather, who incidentally was president of Eastern Nazarene College in Quincy, the town that I grew up in, because ultimately of the proximity to the school and my family's proximity to my father having been raised there, essentially near campus. We were at his summer place, and it was just one night. Everyone had gone to bed. I was in my room, and I just, there was something about the quietness in the air, the peace all around me, and I thought, this is a good time to take up where we left off, Lord Jesus, as if it was my choice, right? And so in the quietness and the stillness of that sacred little room, I invited Jesus to live in my heart and asked him to forgive me of anything that I had, all the things that I had done wrong in my life. And I told him I wanted him to be the Lord of my life. And as I was even going through the prayer, I was checking my own cognitive sense of, I already believe all these things, and he knows I already believe these things. Why do I feel the need to make this official and verbally expressed? But I felt that in my spirit. I need to do this. And as I prayed, I didn't see Jesus in the room, but I'll tell you, there was a presence in that room with me. And it was no different than if my mother or my father or my brother had been in that room. There was a presence in that room, and that presence was love. And it was a person. It was not just a sense of love, but I can't wrap that in words, how profound that was. And I remember going to sleep, and in the morning, just running down the hallway to where my mother, to my parents' room, and knocking on the door. I accepted Jesus last night. Jesus came into my heart last night. I was ecstatically excited, and I'm happy to say that I had a kind of crossed that line of faith, because even as a 10-year-old, I had had the experience of hearing people share testimonies of dramatic conversions to Christ, and I remember thinking, I wasn't like the Apostle Paul. I didn't murder a bunch of people and fall off a horse. You know what I mean? I felt that I wasn't perhaps as qualified to step into that space as some people had been. But what the Lord really ultimately revealed was I was a sinner and I needed his salvation. And it was as simple as that and as needful as that.
You're listening to Courtney Shad share her story of stepping over the line of faith and the impact that it had on her, even as a child. She mentions a song by Don Francisco, "He is alive, he is alive, he is alive, he is alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide." Well, that's her heart. That's our heart for you, dear friend. When we come back from our break, we'll hear more from Courtney Shad. Courtney wrote a book. It's a book about a journey she took, a journey that took her through 14 states from Georgia to Maine. Her book is titled Wide Sky, Narrow Path, A View from the Trail. She'll talk more about that, her life journey, her faith, and what it means to you. What it could mean to you and the difference it could make in your life today. Don't we all need encouragement at such times like this in which we live? Well, the Lord sends Courtney to share heart to heart with you. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Courtney Shah joins us from Marshfield, Massachusetts. Courtney is passionate about helping people to recognize and walk in their unique God-given identity. Her perceptions with regard to this have grown through the years in large measure due to a hike that she took that took on over half a year from Georgia to Maine, from one mountain to another mountain that she'll talk to us about. It's called the Appalachian Trail. You're listening to the Good Life Radio program. If you're tuning in right now, maybe caught the tail end of the last segment, you can get this program in its entirety. Just go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can find out more about this podcast, a free gift to you. If you want to find out more about the book, go to facebook.com/CLShod. facebook.com/CLShod. CSCHAAD for Shot, Courtney Shot. Courtney, tell us about the Appalachian Trail and how did you feel prompted to take that on?
Well, I have always been a nature lover from as far back as I can remember. By pictures of me as a little child, taking walks with my mom when I was a toddler, I'd have fists full of leaves and rocks and just the beautiful things that I found. And I still pick up rocks and leaves. And with that love of nature, there was many opportunities to connect with nature at the summer camp that I referenced in the previous part of our conversation about accepting Christ. It was on a lake. It was near the mountains. And so my love of the outdoors certainly grew through my times with family at that camp. And as I entered my young adult years, a cousin of mine had taken up backpacking as a hobby. And I had been intrigued by hiking and backpacking, but I hadn't done anything more than day hikes. I had not really done much in the way of camping. And when he heard of my interest, and he had particularly grown interested in the famed Appalachian Trail, he called me one day and said that he was thinking of doing a full month on the Appalachian Trail, somewhere between North Carolina and Tennessee, where the trail kind of goes from one state to the next and back again and back again and zigzags a bit. And he invited me to join him. And this became my launch pad for reading and reading and reading more about what to expect on even just a month-long journey, what kind of gear I was going to need. And I was a complete beginner, and aided and abetted by another, yet another cousin of mine, another avid outdoorsman, who turned me on to some books that helped equip me. I slowly but surely began to accumulate what I needed as far as gear was concerned, and then the day came that the trip would be taken. And long story short, the trip ended up getting cut short to 2 weeks. But in that 2 weeks, oh my, I just was just completely smitten by the experience. There was nothing about it that I didn't love, and much of it being the challenge of, can I sustain myself out here? And I think that the experience of having what had been planned for, which was a full month, getting cut short to the 2 weeks, loving the experience, not wanting to go home early, created a kind of, it became momentum for this desire. I've got to get out here again, and it's got to be longer than 2 weeks. And so I kind of, I won't say I leapt from a 2 week trip to saying I'd like to through hike, but something that happened on that 2 week trip was, as we walked the famed path and stayed at shelters, it just for our listeners who aren't as familiar with the Appalachian Trail, roughly a day's hike apart on the entire trail are small, usually wooden lean-tos, sometimes made of logs, sometimes made of, with a tin roof, but small enclosures for shelter for hikers who don't have a tent or don't want to pitch a tent. And there are log books located in each of these shelters where hikers write notes. It's for rangers to read if there were a safety issue, or it's a catch-all for hikers to send notes to their friends who have perhaps fallen behind on the trail, and hey, you need to catch up, you know, I'm already this far along, and you know, and people would write all kinds of things in these logs, and they were very entertaining to read. And as I was reading one of these log books early on in that 2 week hike, someone was describing snow, and we were near the Smoky Mountains, and at that elevation it's not uncommon for there to be snow in spring. And I remember thinking, boy, these through hikers, they are hardcore to be out in this kind of weather going for such a long distance. What kind of person would do that? And I did not feel like I was that kind of a person at all. I didn't feel I was made of that kind of, you know, resilient, tough as nails kind of stuff. But I was hooked by what I was reading of their experiences. And that began to grow in my mind as this question of, well, why not me? What makes them so different from, am I so different? And as that grew, I had another opportunity a year or two later to hike for a week. And that trip, it once again, kind of fueled my desire to go out for a longer period of time. And then the actual kind of impetus came for the full through hike when I was working for a map publisher in Harvard Square, Cambridge, Mass. And the company I was working for was preparing to relocate to Pennsylvania from Cambridge, Mass. I did not know that this was happening. We had just been acquired by a large cartographic service firm. And we knew that with the merging that anything was possible, but no one knew of plans for the office to be relocated from Harvard Square to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And it happened, it just so happened that when a college friend of mine, he was kind of like a brother of mine, that kind of friendship level of trust, who was also interested in backpacking announced one day that he was planning to take a 2-month leave from work to hike on the Appalachian Trail, and he wanted to know if I wanted to join him. And I, as a single female, would not have ventured out by myself on the trail, though I realize now that I probably could have, because so many people start at, whether in Georgia or in Maine, there's so many people that start together to make the most of the seasons. A lot of people are by necessity starting the trail at around the same time, and so you're not really alone, certainly when you start the trail. And as people hike, it's like a marathon. It starts off in a big, tight cluster, and then it begins to thin out as people settle into their pace, or they find that they need to go home, or whatever the case may be. But at that time, I did not know that that was a possibility. So I felt like this is my ticket to hike, because I can go with this other person, this guy, and I'll be safe. So I said yes, but there's a caveat. I'm going to ask you if you will take 6 months leave, and let's just do the whole trail. Why not? I mean, 2 months, 6 months. And so we started our scheming. And when time came for me to put in notice, I decided to give my boss 4 weeks notice as a courtesy for my position to be filled. And as I dropped what I thought was a bomb on her, she dropped the bomb on me that the Cambridge office was going to be relocating. And it was happening the same week that I had set as my start date to hike the trail, which for me underscored that God was setting me on a new path. And as finances, it was incredible. And as finances were tight, my very gracious boss said, we're just going to, I'm not going to let it be known what you just told me, but everyone's going to receive a severance package that won't be relocating. So I didn't have to forfeit a severance package. And the finances at that time, being what they were, that was an incredible blessing. And it, once again, it felt like the favor of God over the decision to go.
Courtney, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back, and I want to talk about some of your, maybe some of the lessons that you wrote about. You can talk about some of the signs that you saw on the trail.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Maybe some metaphors that you found, and how these things relate to your life, not only your life back then, but how it relates to your life or someone's life today, especially during these days where people are undergoing some very challenging times. Are there lessons that could be learned or applied even to someone today from the Appalachian Trail? You're listening to Courtney Schaub. We'll come back. More from Courtney when we come back. Stay with us.
The stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Rick Fleeter is the author of the book Travels of a Thermodynamicist, and he writes, Courtney's experiences and observations are fresh and a pleasure to read, fusing the physical nature of a long and difficult passage with that of the spirit. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Courtney Schaub. She's the author of Wide Sky, Narrow Path, A View from the Trail. She talks about her seven-month Appalachian Trail. It's called a through hike. She writes, with all the unknowns and changing vistas, the trail is a reminder that any day lived anywhere is an invitation to look deeper into all we experience and see the possibilities that only seem to exist when we rush past. Courtney, what might that mean for someone today?
Yeah, it's a great question because although I wrote that from an experience that was now quite a few years ago, I still challenge myself to ask that question today and the ins and the outs of life. And I think as you've made reference to several times, we are living in tremendously challenging times with unprecedented events and if we're all frank, anticipation of what's next, and it's not always a happy kind of anticipation. And I feel that for people of faith who are looking for something to hold on to and to make sense of what might not look like it makes sense today, that we have to come to the Lord in the moment that we're in, with the attitude that Jesus spoke of when he said, you do not know what a day may bring forth. You cannot turn one of your hairs white or black. And we have today, and tomorrow is not promised to any of us. And there's something about the gift of this one day that we've been given. And I think often in the casting our vision ahead and anticipating things that haven't happened yet, or looking back and perhaps at times even being plagued by difficulties of the past that are playing out in our present we can be distracted from the ways that God, through the Holy Spirit, through the person of Christ, wants to show up for us today. And I know in my own life, I can be almost just chased through the entire day by what feels like distraction after distraction after distraction, and trying to build the things in my life that are to be built. And I have to remind myself all the time to be still and know that He is God. And there is that invitation,
Courtney,
each day to stop and remember that. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, yes. Tell us about, and I want to say this in the context of the question. So there's this question and a broader question. The question is, did you ever feel like giving up? And in light of that, were there signs on the trail,
mm-hmm.
literal or even mm-hmm. figurative signs?
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, there were. And there were, the signs were, there were so many, and they were so clear. It honestly was what prompted the writing of the book. I felt that it wasn't just my story, or even just my experience. It was a whole different way of looking at life, which is why the subtitle of the book, A View from the Trail. I grew to see almost a language of symbols, if you will, that had never I had not noticed. I had not noticed until I really needed to see, if that makes sense. I'll share that the first and one of the most poignant ones that took place even before I left for the trail. There was a part of me questioning the solvency of my decision to go, while my job as I knew it was being, you know, dissolved through with relocating to a state I wasn't intending to move to. That was happening. I was coming out of a relationship where my heart had been broken, dreams shattered. It was a very, very difficult relationship. And so that dream was, it felt like I was coming from a graveyard of shattered dreams. There were artistic pursuits that I felt had not come to fruition, not even so much had failed, but had just petered out. And I was dealing with tremendous discouragement. And while I was excited about the trail, I remember about just a few weeks before leaving for Georgia, I was just feeling awash in the discouragement of, what am I doing? I'm going off into the woods to hike for half a year, and what's going to become of me? I what's on the other side of this? And I found myself questioning, not so much questioning God as much as really wanting a little bit more clarity and sense of reassurance that I was making the right decision. I lived in Somerville, Mass at the time, and I lived a few blocks from a Salvation Army thrift store on a busy bus line. And as I stepped out of my apartment building this particular day, walked down the street, I was just silently praying, Lord, would you confirm this decision? And I wasn't expecting an immediate answer. I just hoped that God would respond at some point. And in the two blocks it took to walk to my apartment door to the Salvation Army thrift store near the bus stop, I happened to notice two cars parked outside the thrift store. The first car that I walked past, directly in front of the Salvation Army, had Georgia license plates. And I thought, how unusual. I'm in Somerville, Mass. And with a funny feeling, as I approached the next car, to my astonishment, you can guess what license plates were on the car parked in front. Maine. They were Maine license plates. Mm-hmm. And my jaw was on the pavement almost. I thought, could God be that? Could he be that close? Could he be wanting to reveal himself to a brokenhearted person whose life has just changed dramatically in such a short period of time? And it, to me, it was an embodiment, a very urban, quirky embodiment of the scripture, which says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I did not know what that scripture truly meant until I was hiking on the Appalachian Trail one night with my headlamp, my little flashlight attached to my forehead, as hikers hike with their headlamps if they're out at night. I tried casting my beam far down the path to see where the path went. And instantly I tripped on a tree root that I hadn't seen. And I learned in that moment of night, that first time night hiking, oh, the beam has to go right down, right by my feet. Your word is a light to my feet, a lamp to my path. If God doesn't give us the light right there by our feet, if we don't allow his light to come right for our next step, there's a good chance that we're going to stumble around. We don't need to know what's a mile down the path. We don't need to know what's 10 yards down the path. We need to know, what is this next step I need to take? I knew my destination ultimately was to walk from Georgia to Maine. I knew I was on that path, but I needed I needed to see the kindness of God revealed. And I'll tell you, I realized that these kindnesses came because I was hungry and I needed to see. And there's no more honest prayer than when we are hungering and we are thirsting, saying, God, I need to hear from you, and I don't need to hear from anybody else. I need to hear from you. And I believe in the scripture that says, if a son asks his father for a fish, he doesn't give him a scorpion. He doesn't give him stone in place of bread. How much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And he loves to take us by the hand right where we're at, in the stumblings, in the mistakes, and the missteps and the errors. And he loves to say, let me take you the next step. And he holds our hand, and he does that.
That is so good. So, so good. So, so good, Courtney. This is such a timely word. It's like a word that gives us a lamp, as it were, that shines right down on our feet from the Lord.
Amen.
To remind us.
Amen.
How to view today, how to view,
yes,
this moment. You're listening to Courtney Schad. Courtney is the author of the book Wide Sky, Narrow Path. It's available at Amazon.com. Find out more about Courtney at Facebook.com/CL Schad. That's with two A's. We'll be back for our final segment with her and for a time of prayer. Courtney praying for you about the trail you are on in life. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, Courtney Shad's words today have been so timely. She has communicated her experiences from the Appalachian Trail, 14 states from Georgia to Maine. And the way she described the lamp that was shown before her, but just enough for her to take the next step. Oh, what a picture of the Lord's guiding hand or guiding grace in our lives. Courtney continues to work on her writing. She has several projects going on. A current manuscript is underway that includes a testimonial called Beyond Perfectionism, Grace and Pursuit of the Imperfectly Perfect. Another, Exe's Dream, which is an illustrated children's story, and a speculative novel, A Cord of Three Strands. I'm talking of Courtney Shad. Courtney is the author of the book Wide Sky, Narrow Path, A View from the Trail, chronicling her journey of the Appalachian Trail, where she presents a redemptive allegory to an early sojourn in one's life. Relates with us today. You can get that at amazon.com. Find out more about her at facebook.com/ CL Shad, CL Shad, SCHAAD. You can find out more about the book there. Courtney, in this final segment, how would you say God led you on the trail to adjust to changes in weather?
That's a very interesting question. Starting the trail, I'm going to speak very broadly for other thru-hikers because I would wager this is a comprehensive experience that living primarily indoors, as most of us do, when you begin to live essentially out of doors, there was this kind of visceral sense of wanting to not allow the elements to claim me. And yet, with time, it began to feel very natural to be outside. And there was this kind of flipping which took place where being indoors began to feel stuffy and confining, and being out of doors felt free and real. And that did not happen overnight. That took several months to really reach that point. But for me, it was a compelling lesson. What I felt was one of the enduring lessons of the trail for me, starting the trail feeling not very confident as a person on so many levels of life. I felt that I had seen failure and I had seen mistakes made. And what I saw was God calling me up to what he had intended for my life. Once I let my kind of my white knuckled grip of the steering wheel of my life go, it said, okay, God, would you begin to guide this? I'm not really happy with my own progress here. It's time for me to pass this over to you. And I saw that he wanted to not only bring me to heights that I could not have imagined, but he wanted to establish new growth patterns that were to kind of set a precedent for all the other events of life that would come after this intensive half year on the trail. And I can honestly say that the trail recalibrated how I think about life, how I think about the world, and the book itself, I honor those who maybe don't even like the experience of being in the outdoors for long periods, who don't want to backpack. I really honor those who have been on long journeys that don't get written up. Unsung moments, you know, of one's own journey and struggle. And I felt that the trail experience was not unlike any of those, in that God meets us where we're at. He's not afraid of a hiker who's gone for a week without stepping into a shower. Spattered with the mud and the cares, you know, and the bruises of falling down on the hard rocks. I mean, that's all of us. And he loves to meet us where we're at and to do things that we could not have imagined if we would just release the control and ask him, say, would you point me in your direction? Would you lead me? Would you bring those things into my path that only you can bring about, that only you can instigate? And may I walk that path?
And Courtney, this would be, I think this would be a perfect time for prayer. If you mm-hmm. would, because yep. someone right now who's listening might have their own white knuckle experience gripping the steering yep. wheel of their own life. And mm-hmm. the weather patterns are changing around in society, so to speak.
Right.
And
right.
There's some releasing that needs to take place. And I think this is so key for you to share what you're sharing. So timely, as I've said before, would you pray for our yeah. listener at this moment, please?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Lord Jesus, we just come before you with thanks, with praise, with honor for who you are for your people, and that who you are for each of us is unique and is special to all the unique souls that you have created. And I just pray for those listening who feel that they're perhaps at a crossroads and they're seeking confirmation. They don't want to misstep. I pray that you would bring the sign, that you would bring the sense of confirmation that they are on the right path. And if they are not on the path that you would intend for them, that you would, just through your gentleness and your kindness, that you would redirect. And I pray for a spirit of openness. I pray for a spirit of surrender, that we would all surrender everything, that everything would be laid open to you, the one who looks at us with love and desires only our best. We give you every circumstance, those things that we can't bear on our own, that we weren't meant to bear on our own, Lord. You said that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Would you bear our burdens, Lord? Would you take that which would seek to crush us, Lord? Would you lift that so that we can walk the path that you have intended for your children, for each of us, Lord? The unique path, the path that is marked by desire. And Lord, will we just lean into the truth of who you are in ways that we haven't yet imagined, and be delighted as we find that you're not only good, you're even better than we ever could have imagined, Lord. We love you, and we thank you, and we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Such sweet and encouraging words from Courtney Schad. You can find out more about her at facebook.com/CL Schad. That's S-C-H-A-A-D. And her book is available at amazon.com. The book is entitled Wide Sky, Narrow Path, A View from the Trail. Courtney, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Compelling words from Courtney Schad, and I would say timely indeed. Facebook.com/CL Schad. Dear friend, God's timing is perfect, and there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, we believe this might be the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special video set up for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers or your financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Donate. I want to thank you in advance. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Courtney Schad, Facebook.com. Until next time, along with my guest coordinator, Lonnie Ka'a, technical producer, Chaz Ontai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.